The scripture reading before Brother Ken's lesson this morning will come from Romans chapter 12. If you want to follow along in your Bibles, Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 5. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Romans 12, starting verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another.
I like the story about the fellow that was shipwrecked in the South Pacific on a deserted island. He was discovered 5 years later by a passing naval ship. And on their arrival to the shore, he said, as you can imagine, I'm really glad to see you. I've been here alone on this island for 5 years. Well, the captain of the ship said, well, wait a minute, if you're all alone on this island, why do I see three huts over there? And the survivor said, oh, I live in one hut, and I'll go to church in the other hut. And the captain said, well, what about the third hut? He said, well, I used to go to church there, but I don't go there anymore. Now, as we indicated in the 9 o'clock hour, the religious world is a sad state of division. I suppose we may be so divided we can't even get along with ourselves sometime. Our theme, Christianity 101, Bible Basics for the 21st Century, speaks to the idea of unity and oneness. And in this hour, we're going to talk about the idea of one body. There is one body, just like there's one spirit, just like we're called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. And so this hour, we are going to talk about why you belong in the body of Christ. Sure appreciate the invitation to come and to be with you, good brethren, and to fellowship with you and to worship and share these messages. Your shepherds have given a great deal of thought to themes and issues that we deal with in our daily lives and in the religious world, in areas in which we need to be built up. And they've asked me to talk about unity and specifically ask at this 11 o'clock hour that I talk about what this text says about the one body. And so as I thought about so many different directions and ways that we could go in talking about the one body, I've chosen this issue in talking about why you belong in the one body. And in our reading that our brother just brought to us, you have here in Romans chapter 12, the in Christ statement once again. We mentioned in the earlier lesson 87 times we find in the Bible the expression in Christ. And here he says that it is in Christ we who form, and here is one body, just like in Ephesians 4, and each of us are members that belong to all of the others. And so I trust as we think about these thoughts this morning, and as we continue the theme of unity and oneness the next 3 days, that we can draw closer to the Lord, closer to each other, make practical application in our lives, and understand better the need for unity. So first of all, let me suggest that we need to belong to the one body. To be in Christ, you must be in the one body. And this is almost a bit repetitive from the earlier lesson, because we've talked about this idea of being in Christ and the fact that to be in Christ, you must be in the body of Christ. Our brother at the communion time talked about literally the body of Christ. And as we come to communion and we think about the blood that he was shed and his body being crucified to that cross, we literally think of his body. But the idea certainly carries with it a metaphorical aspect, symbolically, as I think that is used here in this particular passage. We belong to the body of Christ and need to be in the body of Christ because he is the head of the spiritual body. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul tells us that all things he has the preeminence, that he's above all, through all, and in all. He is the co-creator with the Heavenly Father, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the firstborn. He is the firstborn. He is the one that has all preeminence. He is divine. He is God. And he is the head of the body. And so when we are in the body of Christ, we are in Christ, and we are in a relationship with Christ, and we enjoy, as we talked about earlier, all spiritual blessings. But we said then, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. If we're not in Christ, we don't have all spiritual blessings. And if we're not in Christ, we're not in the body of Christ. But this leads us to a second important point, because it is the only one in the Bible. Now, I know to just say that goes against what is popular, what is commonly understood in religious world. That is not a very ecumenical statement to say that. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, here's the fact, that it's a biblical statement to say that. For me to stand up here and to say that there are many bodies of Christ, and one is just as good as another, is to fly in the face of what the inspired apostle Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 4. He says there is just one body. Now, lest we misunderstand this, the book of Ephesians tells us what that body is. He's not talking here about the physical body, but symbolically the spiritual body. He's put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Now, again, you don't have to go to University of Memphis and get a PhD in English to understand that one is singular. One is singular in contrast to many. A single unit to the exclusion of all others. And so here the body, the spiritual body, is one. One body. And he says here that the body is the church. So if there is one body and the body is the church, how many churches are there of which Christ is the head? That ought to be obvious to us. So that leads us in to think about what I call some body basics. And there again might be a lot that we could look at, but let's just think about three. One, we are baptized into one body. That's how we get into the one body. In a few minutes, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12. But for now, just look at verse 13. For by one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And so to get into the one body, it comes about through the act of baptism. Now, there are those that would lead you to believe that you could be in the body of Christ and not be baptized, or that you get into the body of Christ before you're ever baptized. Well, again, that goes against what the Apostle Paul said here, because he says that we're baptized into one body. So before you were baptized, were you in the one body? Obviously not. And so that's fundamental. That is a basic fundamental fact, that we're baptized into one body. Secondly, we are reconciled in one body. In Ephesians chapter 2 that we read in an earlier lesson, we talked about how unity is in Christ and how he broke down that which separated Jew and Gentile. They were separated from one another and separated from God. But in Ephesians 2 and verse 16, he says that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross. And so the idea of someone being estranged from God, being separated from God, being alienated from God, being an enemy of God, not being in a relationship with God, now reconciliation takes place. And the reconciliation takes place, he says, in one body, and it's through the cross. And so if a person is not a believer, let's say. Let's just say they're not even a believer. Let's say they don't believe in God. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in the Bible. And yet through a series of events, they come to be convicted that there is a God and that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Bible is the Word of God and they want a relationship with God. They want to be right with God. They want to be saved. How do they come into that relationship and how are they reconciled? Well, God reconciles them through the cross of Jesus Christ, the blood shed, and we're going to talk about that more on Tuesday night. He reconciles them through the cross of Jesus Christ. There's unity in Christ again. And they're reconciled not in the body of their choice, not in 365 different bodies, or what did we say the web said, 35,000 different bodies, if that could be believed, but in one body by the cross. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Ken Welliver didn't make that up. And the Church of Christ didn't make that up. And some fellow by the name of Alexander didn't make it up. And some guy that's the president of Florida College didn't make it up. All right? That's in the Bible. The Bible says that. That we're reconciled in one body. And then the third thing is that we are called then into the one body. Now here we get into an area where a lot of people talk about calling. I was lived out in Kansas City, Missouri for a few years. Had a fellow that was having a meeting, and I was passing out meeting announcements in the little neighborhood close to the church building. And he said, come on in. Well, that's strange. Usually people, they don't even come to the door, or they barely, you know, just put it under the mat. But anyway, he opened the door and invited me in. It almost scared me. But I went in the house and talked to him. He said, I got something I want to show you. He went and got me a typed manuscript and proceeded to tell me of his religious experience. He was driving across the plains of Kansas one day, and a big old storm came up, and he saw these clouds form, and it sent him a message. And God called him through those clouds. And he had a ministry, and he wanted to know if he could come and speak to our church and share his message of God calling him through those clouds. Well, you want to be nice to folks, and you know, treat him with respect and dignity. I don't remember exactly what I said to the fellow then. But I know this. The Bible doesn't say anything about being called through the clouds. In Colossians 3 and verse 15, he said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts to which you are called in one body and be thankful. But how are we called? Well, Thessalonians says he called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we are called into the one body by the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I'll just be frank with you. Sometimes I hear young people, and sometimes not so young people, talk about being led to do this or called to do this or God spoke to them about this. And they have a view that is new to me. And they got this view because of some feeling or some calling or this or that or something else. I tell you what, anything that I believe about God and about Jesus Christ and about the body of Christ and about my relationship to the Lord is through the gospel. It's not through the clouds. It's not through some feeling. It's not through something else. And so these are some fundamental basics. Now, let me take this a little further. All right? Because probably, as the old expression goes, I'm preaching to the choir, that I would guess a great majority, overwhelming majority, would pretty much agree with what I've been saying. You know, I'm kind of reminded of the African-American preacher that they asked him how he preached. He said, well, first, he said, I splanify the scripture. And then he said, I argify the scripture. And he said, then I put on the arousement. Well, I won't put on the arousement on this point here just a little bit. Because, brethren, it's not good enough for us just to say amen to that. Yes, that's right. One body. There's one body. We're called into one body by the gospel. We're baptized into one body. We're reconciled into one body. I read a book a few years ago by a fella, and he had this to say. He said, how can we have loving unity with our godly friends without telling them frankly they're not yet in the kingdom? How can we regard them as being, quote unquote, spirit-filled, yet not introduce them to the washing of rebirth by which the true renewing of the Spirit takes place? How can we embrace them as fellow Christians and never once mention they're not in a state of forgiveness? Friends don't let friends continue under the illusion that they're saved when they're not. If we're truly concerned about our godly friends who have never been baptized into Christ, will we not speak of family unity until we have spoken to them about how a person is born again into the family? Merely wishing someone were your brother doesn't make him one. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I think we need to take those words to heart. It is not enough for us to have a lesson series on unity in Christ, one God, one Lord, one Holy Spirit, one body, one faith, one hope, all of that, if we're not going to share that with other people that need to hear it. Well, why do you belong into one body? Well, to be in fellowship with all other Christians. Each member, the text says, belongs to all of the others. Who are all of the others? Those that are in Christ, those that are in the one body. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. There's no such thing as being solo out here. I've had people say, "Well, now, preacher, don't you know you can be a Christian and not go to church? Don't you know you can be a Christian? You don't have to be a part of any church to be a Christian." Well, now, where's the passage that says that? Because when we are in the one body, he says we're a member that belongs to all of the others that are in the one body. We enjoy fellowship. Ephesians 3 and verse 6 says, you belong in God's household with every other Christian. And so when we belong to one body, like in the New Testament days, you had Christians in Corinth and Christians in Ephesus and Philippi and Colossae and Rome and Jerusalem. And here we are today, removed 2,000 years later, and here at East Shelby. But all of us as individual Christians are members of the one body. And we're members with each other. And so we have that in a universal sense, but in a local sense, we have fellowship with all of the others. That is why. But I want to take the last 10 minutes or less and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and suggest that we need to be in the one body to fulfill Paul's plea in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. One writer said the church is a body, not a building, an organism, not an organization. C.S. Lewis, who was an Irish-born British novelist, and he gained fame in Christian circles after renouncing atheism and becoming a believer, wrote God on the Dock and Screwtape Letters and Miracles and Chronicles of Narnia. In one of his essays, he wrote about church membership. And without reading a lengthy quote on that, in essence, what Lewis said was that the word membership has been hijacked by the Western world. And we use the word membership in a much different way than the Bible talks about being a member of the body. I mean, we talk about being a member of a club or an organization or this sort of thing, and it has bylaws and stuff. You know, I got my Rotary pin on this morning. I'm a member of Rotary. I joined back in Columbia, Tennessee, in fact, in 97. Dr. Rufus Clifford sponsored me into Rotary. And when I lived in Tampa, Buddy and I were in the same Rotary club together, and I'm now in my fifth club. They're not kicking me out. I just move around a lot, okay? But I'm in my fifth club. But Rotarians all have something in common, you see, in our clubs, that I'm a member of a Rotary club, all right? Now, a Rotary club has rules. They have bylaws. And we're supposed to follow the bylaws. And we meet. Usually most clubs meet for once a week, either for breakfast, lunch, or in the evening, and we're supposed to come to meetings. And guess what else that good Rotarians do if you're going to stay in a club? Pay dues. Very few clubs can you join and there's not dues to pay. Now, unfortunately, churches have taken that idea of membership and almost look at the church the same way. And so, you're a member of the church. Well, you got bylaws. the Bible. Sometimes we look at whatever the elders say, and that's the bylaws. Some folks don't know a whole lot what the Bible says, but what do the elders tell me? The preachers tell me, I gotta follow the rules. And if I don't follow the rules, someone's gonna visit me and I'm gonna be in trouble. So we follow the rules. And we gotta show up. And so here we are at 11 o'clock hour. Here we are. Now, we're gonna meet tomorrow night. What time are we meeting tomorrow night? 7? All right. We're gonna meet tomorrow night at 7. Y'all come back. All right, 7 o'clock. All right, it's scriptural, right? We're meeting tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. But, you know, we got to be here at 11 o'clock on Sunday. And then, I started to say we pass the plate, but these COVID times, we don't pass a plate anymore. We might get something off of it. So we have a box. We put our money in a box or whatever we do here. I see the box. There it is. And so we give. And we look at church membership that way. And that's what Lewis was talking about in his essay. Well, listen to this as I read it, and then I'll just make a few points from it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. For as the body is one, it has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks or slaves or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, here it is again, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. Therefore, there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But desire earnestly the best gift, and I show you a more excellent way. And so what Paul is saying here in his text, just as the physical body works together in unity and harmony, so should the spiritual body. I mean, to read this text hardly needs any explanation. We understand that from a physical standpoint in our bodies, that the members work together. So I won't even elaborate on that. But the point that we're making is the spiritual body, which is the members of the body of Christ, should be working together in unity and in harmony. Now, that's the application to us. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to be good enough for us to all go out here and say, boy, you know, preach to one body. There's one body, and the body is the church. And we go down the road, we look at these buildings. Yeah, I'm a part of the one body. Well, great. Are you working together in this body in unity and harmony? That's the bigger issue for most of us here this morning. Are we really being the one body of Christ? Now, in that body, there is diversity. Just like, obviously, in the physical body, there's a diversity of members that have different functions, and all the members of the body do various things, and we understand the use of our physical members. So it's true in the spiritual body of Christ. There's different people with different nationalities, two genders. Did you notice I said two genders? Okay. Education level, social standing, occupation, ages, all of that. There's not a diversity of bodies which is what the religious world says. The religious world says there's a diversity of bodies. No, there's a diversity of members in one body. That's what the Bible says. And so we need to respect that. That's right. We need to respect. I thought that was an amen. Respect that diversity. Then there is a mutual dependence of the members. Staying connected to the body is essential to prevent death and decay. My body depends a great deal on my right hand. I eat with it. I type with it. I shake hands with it. But if I cut it off, it's useless. You can't cut yourself off from the spiritual body and be effective and receive nourishment and be what God wants you to be. There is a dependence on the one body of Christ. And you notice he said three times, I read in that text, three times, one body. But the members of the body are directed by the head. Now, here's a profound thought, and I didn't even get this at Florida College in Biology. My head cannot direct your body. Wow. Your head cannot direct my body. All right, we all got that figured out. Only my head can direct my body, and your head can direct your body. In the spiritual body of Christ, Christ is our head, and Christ directs the body. And so he was saying, John 15, abide in me, for without me you can do nothing. The body apart from the head is powerless and lifeless. Now the religious world has contrived all kinds of religious freaks. I mean, multiple heads, multiple bodies. You know, I looked it up. A two-headed animal is a freak of nature. An animal with one head and two bodies would be a freak of nature. And yet, religiously, we think that that's not the case. And so what have we looked at today in these 3 hours? We have looked at the fact that there is one God the Father. There is one Lord Jesus Christ. There is one Holy Spirit. And now we see that there is one body. Believing that, embracing that, preaching that, and practicing that is what will bring about religious unity. I know it's not politically correct. It goes against the ecumenical spirit of our age. And yet, it's biblically correct. And it's that which we need to believe and practice. So, we're going to sing a song in just a moment here. You've heard this before, right? We call it the invitation. The tough thing is this, and how many have you led? How many invitation songs? A crowd this size, I just have to wonder in my own mind, who should respond this morning? I wonder. I tell you, not that I'm so great, because I'm not. But I've preached enough gospel this morning in these 3 hours to save Memphis, Tennessee, United States, and the world. Have you taken it to heart? Is there one here that owes a duty to God that needs to make their life right with God? Could there be one that's drifted away, become unfaithful, derelict in duty, and you need to come back home, reattach yourself to the body of Christ, and be what God would have you to be? Let us lift you in prayer and help you in that endeavor. Could there be this morning a husband or a wife, a son or a daughter, father or mother that's not a Christian? And maybe you come with your family and you support and you're here, and you come every Sunday. Well, what's holding you back? Your family's in the body, but you're not. If you haven't been baptized into the body, you're not in the body. You're a guest, and we're glad you're here, and we hope you'll come back. Why not be in the body? Why not accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, turn from your sins to repentance, confess allegiance to Him, and be baptized in the body of Christ, and let the blood of Jesus wash away every sin, and let us embrace you as one of the members of the body? Could we serve you in that regard? We hope that we can while we stand and sing.